Do you want to listen to a story? But just me telling a story may not be that much fun. Listen to thousands of stories and powerful voices and make your commute fun. All for just ₹4.99 per month.
As a special listener, you can enjoy 30 days of free listening by signing up through storytel.in/30days.
Dímelo, it's your girl La Loca from Radio 103.9, and you're about to hear the exclusive audio of our latest Stage 17 performance. For the full video, head over to stage17nyc.com.
Exclusive interviews and performances from the world of music, movies, politics, and more. All on one stage from the heart of New York City. Cumulus Media presents Live from Stage 17.
Radio 103.9, welcome to Deconstructed with LaPortia. Renee, give it up.
Thank you.
LaPortia.
My mic on? Oh, yes.
You're good. How you doing, love?
I'm good. How you doing?
Amazing performance.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, the thing I love about it is you do rehearsal, you blow it up. You do the real performance, you blow it up. Just singing. So you actually, so many of us first saw you on American Idol.
Yeah.
And so, but you had, this wasn't the first time you auditioned for American Idol or had the American Idol experience, right?
No, yeah, the first time I auditioned, I was 16, and I went to New Orleans, and I got a standing O from the stadium, and I didn't make it through, so I was like, oh, that's fake.
I know you was just cussing American Idol out.
I wasn't cussing, you know, I was 16. But I was like really hurt and really mad and just, you know, I was kind of discouraged.
As an artist, what did you learn from that experience of not being selected?
I did learn that the industry was a little bit more political than I thought. Because you know, I got the reaction of the people that I would think that they would want, but they were looking for something specific that year. So, you know, and I also learned that in God's timing, everything will come forth the way it's supposed to. Because if I would have gone on the show when I was 16 versus when I went on now, I feel like I wouldn't have had a lot to sing about at that time. So God allowed me to live my life a little bit, get married, go through some things. You know, when I got on the show, I had a message and I had a testimony. I had something bigger than just, you know, getting up there and singing songs. I had an inspiration factor to me that ended up touching a lot of lives. So.
You know what? That's so well put. We just talked to Mary J. Blige, and the thing we talked about was, I said, we believe every word.
Oh, yeah.
And when we saw you this season with Fantasia, and you guys shared that emotion, like you said, when she said, I need you to bring to this song.
Right.
Your life.
Right.
And so in that, look at God.
Yeah.
You had to go through something to get to that point.
Yeah.
Because if not, you just would have been singing.
Right.
And so then this time when you auditioned, and how is it different when you make it? You know, what's the different energy? And then, like you said, like the political piece, how did it feel? Were you looking at people's side eye when you made it this time? Like,
You know what? The last time when I auditioned, I had an expectation to make it. And then this time when I auditioned, I didn't really have an expectation. I kind of just let go and was like, God, if it's for me, you know, it's for me. And if it's not, okay, too. And I had a really content spirit with whatever was going to happen. And I was actually surprised when I got yes after yes after yes after yes. In fact, I think I skipped a couple rounds, too. As far as like going, you know, you do the producers first and then you do. So it was a very divine process.
Straight to the top.
This time, yeah.
Were you raised in the church?
I was.
And so in Macomb, Mississippi?
Mm-hmm. I didn't go to Macomb until ninth grade.
Where were you before?
So I was born in Greenville, and then I spent 9 years of my childhood in Raceland, Louisiana.
Oh.
And then I moved around Mississippi. So I went to Monticello, Flora, and then I ended up in Macomb.
I know there were some churches. I know you have.
Quite a few.
Coming from the church, I was going to say when you're from small town America and you get on the national stage, I was going to say, you know, is it overpowering? But I think when you're raised in the black church, there's so many amazing singers on any, you can just put your finger down in any place in America that you just see all these great singers, you know, that you cut your teeth there. But when you do go to like the American Idol piece and now you're singing these different people, is it overwhelming or were you ready at, you know, what, 22 or whatever? Were you ready? How'd you feel about it?
You know what? That's the unique thing about my experience is that I feel like God made sure that I knew that it wasn't me that was getting me all those yeses, because they had some people who could sing me under the bus that didn't even get TV airtime. And so, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, I said a prayer every time before I performed, and I was like, let them hear and see you and not me. And I think it worked, because when I did Diamonds, you know, I didn't expect that song to blow up the way it did. I literally rushed to pick that song, and I was like, I was doing I wanted to do a lot of old school. They were like, no, we need to make you relevant. I don't really listen to songs of today. But this particular song, I started singing a slower version, and it kind of touched me, so I was like, I'll go with this. And I just wasn't expecting it. They applauded for me for a good 5 minutes. So it was, you know, just crazy. But I don't say I was vocally ready. I just say I was spiritually ready, and that made everything else be ready.
I love that. With that, I just had a question. I was just thinking about Rihanna singing Diamonds, and I wonder how she felt when she heard you sing it. Was she like, damn?
I wanted a tweet from her.
Just one little tweet.
I wanted a tweet from Rihanna, and that was one of the, I was like, I gotta like show out. I gotta kill this song on stage, like right before, because they came backstage and they were like, you might get a tweet from Rihanna if you do that. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm singing my heart out and stuff, and I didn't get a tweet from Rihanna. I got a tweet from Sia.
Okay.
And that she wrote the song.
Wow.
And she was like, I need to write some more songs for you. That's how you sing.
Love
song.
It.
So I was like, thank you, Sia. But then I was also like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get a tweet from Rihanna.
What about the Kanye hit you?
Huh?
The Kanye hit you on the remix?
Who is?
Kanye West. He's on the remix.
Oh, Kanye.
That's my verse right there.
I don't know. I don't think you so weird.
He was going through things, baby.
I got tweets from a lot of former idols, like, you know, Adam Lambert, Kelly Clarkson, Fantasia, Jennifer Hudson. So I was just overwhelmed. And these are all people I voted for. These are all people like I grew up with. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was happy.
We were crying. You one of them crying people. Like with our family, we watch Idol. And Lord Jesus, you had Jennifer Lopez was breaking down.
I'm not a crier.
When you did the Mary J. No More Drama, Lord, it was, man, that was heartbreaking.
I hated it.
But it was great, though. That's why we fall in love with you, though. That's why people love you so much, because, again, they feel you. You know, they feel you, you know. And so did that, you know, you were like for real crying. That wasn't no little. That was some boo-hoo.
No, because I don't.
You almost fell down on Ryan Seacrest that day. What happened? Take us through the song. You first verse, second verse, you know, and then.
So for like, I'm not a crier, so it takes a lot for me to cry. I'm actually really bubbly. I'm joking all the time. I laugh at anything, even if it's not funny. And that's how I was, you know, backstage during the show. And when it first started, I didn't really talk about my situation, because I was married for 5 years, and the whole relationship was very, very just brutally abusive. Like, there's a rap sheet of paperwork long about it all. He was in the Air Force. We were on Joint Base Charleston, which is funny thing. I didn't know we were supposed to be going to Charleston on the Fantasia tour. And so when I got there, that was emotional.
Wow.
But like, I just went on. So I ended the relationship in April of 2015. And then June of 2015, Idol started. So I didn't have really, you know, a lot of time to process anything, or, you know, so it was like fresh. But what I did was I kind of suppressed it, and I was like, you know, I kind of separated myself from what was going on in my personal life, and I dove into Idol. So then we have this week, and they're like, America's going to choose your songs. I'm like, okay. And they chose I'm Ready for Love and No More Drama by Mary J. Blige. And I was like, I told Scott Borchetta, he was our contestant coordinator, I was like, I can't sing that song. Like, you know, I'm not going to make it through that song. That song hits too close to home. It is home. So he was like, Portia, you need this moment. He said, I mean, you need to let America know, like, who you are and what you are. And I had been talking with the Idol people about certain things that I was going through, but not to put it on screen. I had been telling them because we had to put, like, blocks. You know, they needed a picture of him to make sure he didn't try and come. My ex-husband, he didn't try and come. And it was like safety issues. And then I was flying back and forth during the process to go to divorce proceedings. So I was still
dealing in it
through the show. So, you know, Scott just felt like it was time. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna try. So the first rehearsal day comes up, and that's usually the day right after the live show. We start rehearsing on the next song. And as soon as Ricky Minor played that chord and started the song, I bust out crying. I didn't even get one note out. So they came up to me and they were like, you know what, save it for the show. You're not going to have choreography. You're not going to do just authentic. Just save it for the show. So I didn't practice the song at all the whole entire week. The first time I sang the song was on the show. And I was like, they put together, you know, our stories before it comes on. There's a story that they show. And so I had to talk about it, and I got emotional there. And they showed me the package they put together. And they did that because they didn't want it to be like a shock when the show came on. So, and they kept showing it to me over and over throughout the week, trying to get me kind of, you know, used to it. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? As long as you don't have my ears in when you start the story, I'll be fine and I'll be able to sing through the song. Well, somebody didn't get the memo and they had my ears in. So for the people who were there live, I was on stage and, you know, I'm praying. I always pray. And so I'm praying before I sing and my story starts coming on. And it's like, when I was younger, and I'm like, wait. So I'm freaking out. And even if I take my ears out, I can hear, you know. So I heard the story, and I was, like, bending down, even then, trying to, like, hold it together because I was hearing myself cry, hearing myself talk about it. And it was just, it was rough. And that was, that was probably one of the worst vocals I've ever had. But it was one of the most important moments I ever had because I let a lot of things go that night, and I started the process of forgiving. And not only that, but Scott really showed me, because I quit 1 hour before the show. I quit and I said, I'm not going to be able to do it if I have to do this song. Because, you know, I'm not used to being that, I'm not that vulnerable type. I don't, you know, I mean, my emotions, I pray about them and I let it be. I rarely ever talk to anybody unless it's just something that I know I really can't handle. And then I'll share a little bit, not even, you know, everything. So for me to break down on camera was just, it was embarrassing, and it wasn't something I was used to. And it made me feel really weak in the moment. When I broke down, I was really disappointed in myself, and I was like, my ex didn't see me cry again, you know. It was just a lot of things going on in my head. But then I looked over, and I saw J-Lo stand up and cry, but it was more of like an empowerment, yes. You know, and when I saw that, my mind did like a 180, and it started looking at, I just looked out into the audience and looked at, you know, all of the people that related. And then that night I started getting all of these messages from women, men, children alike who had been through that or knew someone who had been through something similar. And it really opened my eyes to the fact that it was more than just about singing. And as an artist, you have a duty to be relatable, not just sing a perfect vocal. You know, it was about reaching the souls and hearts of people. So after that night, it wasn't about the competition anymore. I was just like, oh, okay, God, I know why I'm here now. And so, yeah, it was really...
That's divine order right there.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I felt just as happy, you know, as I wanted to after that. And I...
Do you know the... and again, the song is No More Drama. It's saying, I'm over it.
Right.
But you still got those emotions. Do you know that part? I mean, do you know the verse? Do you know the lyrics? You don't know the lyrics.
Yeah.
So the part that's... But it's kind of like, it's almost like the resolution.
Yeah.
When, you know, can you give us a little bit of that?
Are you talking? Da, 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 da. I don't know. Only God knows where the story ends for me. But I know where the story begins. It's up to us to choose whether we win or lose. I choose to win. Oh!
I need a tissue. I do. I really do.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Oh.
I have not been abused, but.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I know what it was, because it's the question I was going to ask you. So I think people, and what you just described speaks to it. People get it twisted when you say, I prayed about it. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, you prayed and you won. Well, what about everybody else? Mm-hmm. But that's not what you're praying for.
Right.
What you prayed for is what you got.
Right.
It was the clarity.
Right.
Give me what I need. Give me the message I'm supposed to get.
Right.
Give me the lesson I'm supposed to learn.
Right.
People get that twisted. And when people say it, most of the time, it's people that don't have a connection. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's churchy people too. Like you go to church all the time, but you're not hearing. What you just said is so perfect, because if you sing No More Drama and you're not connected to it, mm-hmm. it's just a song. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Mary J. Blige, because we know Mary, mm-hmm. and we do know her struggle, and then we learned your struggle. Yeah. That's what makes that song so special.
It is.
And then that declaration that I'm gonna win.
Right.
She, again, married you, but I hate to keep bringing Mary up, but...
Oh, no, keep bringing it up. That's one of my favorites.
When I interviewed her the other day, there was no, you know, there were no restrictions. You know, people ask about the marriage and stuff, and we don't really do that on Deconstructed. We're not trying to embarrass anybody, but the thing that stood out that she led with that I love was she said, I'm resilient.
Right.
So that told me everything I needed to know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be all right.
Right.
There's darkness, there's struggle, mm-hmm. there's pain, but I'm resilient.
Exactly.
You hear that? You good?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, LaPortia Renee, you are the runner-up for 2016, mm-hmm. American Idol. America loves you.
Thank
you. We love her hair. We love her pretty eyes.
Hey, not everybody loves my hair.
No, you got some hate?
Oh, no, I got a lot of hate.
Break down the hate. We like hate.
So I got...
hate.
No, I got a lot of really mean tweets and comments about that they say I need to cut my hair or I need to find my curl pattern. I don't even know what that is. What is a curl pattern?
I need to find my curl pattern.
I was like, well, I think God made my curl pattern. This whatever curls you see is what he let grow out of my head. But it was really bad. And even some of the staff, I got pressured a lot from the hair guys, which they were great. They weren't.
I don't think
they were trying to do men. Yeah, I think they would. They just wanted America to see, like, you know, a different side of me, which is why I went to the long dreads. I was like, I'll change my hair, but it's gonna be natural, you know. So I went to like the long dreads, and then I went back to the fro. But
is this that's your hair for real?
Yeah.
What?
It's ugly right now. Like, no, seriously, because it's been raining outside.
Wow,
it's
cold. I'm impressed. I have three girls, so, you know, I'm like, humidity.
I was planning on, like, putting a wrap on it and putting it up because...
Girl, a wrap ain't going to hold all that. The wrap would be stressed.
I know how to wrap. I mean, it's a big wrap. It makes my head look... I call it the cocoon look. But, yeah. So I got a lot of that. But... I'm the type of person, I do the opposite of what everybody wants me to do, and I do the opposite of what's out there. So I love straight hair, and I love natural hair, but since everybody thinks straight hair is beautiful and natural is not, I wear natural. If everybody was wearing natural and thought that straight hair wasn't beautiful, I would probably wear straight.
Mm. And so how does it, that, like you said, get the hate about the hair, you get this and that. So you go from, like you said, being kind of, you know, a local star to a national star who gets, you receive, I don't know, craziness on social media. How do you handle that? Do you not read the bad stuff? Do you keep it moving? Are you resilient, or do you take it as like, ooh, every time it just hurts? Criticism.
So starting off, I did a lot of responding, and I never respond in hate. I always respond in love, or I'll be a little snappy. But not hate snappy, just like, you know, clap back snappy. It's in my DNA. I'm a Leo, so I got
right.
You. But no, I had to learn that. Well, I knew one thing that I thank God for is because I try to look at the bright side of all situations, and what I went through with my ex-husband kind of prepared me for this because I was talked down. I mean, the things that they're saying to me now has nothing on what I was told by him. Nothing how I was treated by him. So. When people say things that they do on social media, sometimes I'll laugh. I've gotten out of it as far as like paying attention to it because I've got a team now who kind of, you know, helps me with the social media thing. And so I don't really read the comments anymore. I'll read certain messages and reply, thank you. I love you for your support. Thank you for your love. But, yeah, that's how I handle that. and I stay prayed up. I mean, I know it's redundant and I keep saying it, but I have like a whole prayer closet and I meditate, light my candles, you know, read. I mean, I always find that Zen place at the end of the day so that I can start the next day.
Yeah.
So. And then I have my daughter, you know, like
love.
I mean, she really balances me out.
Did you pick Creep to audition with? Was
I
that
did.
True? And so that you're like a diverse, you have diverse tastes.
My
that was kind of a
so
random.
Weird.
That yeah. was the Creep was like what?
It was because I felt the lyrics. I mean, I don't know what he meant it for, but I sing what I feel at the moment. And when I was going into Idol, I felt like a creep. I felt like, you know, I did. I was like, I'm just this weird girl, you know.
Well, give me your favorite line from Creep then.
Okay. Wait, how do I do this without singing the whole second verse?
Somebody's like, Luther Vandross creep? No, it's not that creep. It's
no, I'll sing the whole verse because I love what the whole
yeah, let's
verse
break it down.
Says.
Creep.
So the second verse says, I don't care if it hurts. I want to have control. I want the perfect body. I want the perfect soul. I want you to notice. When I'm not around, you're so very special. Oh, I wish I was special, but I'm a creep.
Love it, love it. Give it up, y'all. That was amazing.
Thank you.
I remember the late Patrice O'Neal said that was the white boy theme song. He was like, if you play that with some white guys, they're like, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, one thing that I really wanted, I mean, with that song, because that rendition, I actually didn't come up with that rendition, this like slow it down. I watched shows a lot. I was watching American Idol and I watched The Voice. So The Voice, Kimberly Nicole was on The Voice and she did Creep. And when she did it, I was still with my ex-husband. So I'm sitting on the couch and, you know, we're like distant and all of that. We were always just at odds. But I'm listening to her and she's like pulling me into the TV. And I'm like, that's how I feel right now. That's how I feel. So when Idol came and I said I'm gonna learn this song. So I learned the song and I just kind of like put my own emotion into it, put my own thing. And it just, you know, it worked. And I auditioned with that song like three. I didn't change my song until I got to Hollywood Week. Wow. So I kept doing Creep and, you know, people were blown away by it. But it's all about what I'm feeling at the moment. Like during making the album, there was a day I was supposed to record a love song. And I went in there, I was like, Harm, I'm not in love, so it's not gonna work. I was like, I'm kind of, you know, a little angry right now because, you know, I was watching the news and everything. Because in Idol, you're in an Idol bubble, so you don't really know what's going on. But then when you get out of it, you find out all this crap is going happening in Mississippi. You know, that's where I'm from. All the you just see everything that's going on, and it just was getting to me. So I was like, I need to let off some steam. So find a song that I could do that. And so he's going through his computer, and he's like, all right. So he goes and goes and goes, and he's like, what about this? I'm like, nah. And then I got to a song that's on my album, When in Rome, which it's coded, so I love that. I love that you have to listen to a song like 10 times to figure out what the heck you're talking about. But When in Rome came on, and at first the song was about cheating. I was like, why is everybody writing about cheating? So, because Neo did the same thing, and we tweaked it. But I dedicated that song on my album to the victims and survivors of police brutality of all races. So that's how that came about. But if I don't feel it, I can't do it. So on the show, there was a moment where Scott Borchetta had me sing Stay With Me, Baby. And I was pissed. And we were at odds that week because I was like, Scott, you cannot have a survivor sing that song. She was begging him back after cheating and all of that crap. I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And the reason I was so against it was because the week before, we just did homecoming week. So that's when, you know, I go home and I see all my friends and family. And they surprised this young lady from a shelter. They surprised her with my visit, and I had to talk her into pressing charges against her husband that scalped her and shot her 3 times in front of her 3 kids. Wow. So, you know, it wasn't that I was being a diva and like I just don't want to sing the song, but I'm very careful about the message that I send to my fans, and I know how music talks. Even if it tells you something that you're not supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes all it takes is one song. Sometimes, for me, that's all it took was one song, and I'm like, oh, so I'm supposed to stay, you know? You know what I'm saying? So I'm very careful about what comes out of my mouth to my fans. And so that was something that I struggled with, and I didn't feel that song, and I explained on the show why I didn't want to sing the song, and you know they understood. But if I don't feel it, I'm not gonna do it, no matter what it is. So.
And so the you know, after this, you kind of have started your career in a terrible relationship, and so sadly, there's a million stories of the successful female artist who, you know, has this amazing success and then marries a guy who takes advantage of her, becomes her manager, takes her money, blah, 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 blah. And that's just not, I mean, that's not just Mary, that's Aretha, that's everybody, except Donna Ross. Donna Ross flipped the script.
Oh, yeah.
But so, do you think having gone through what you've gone through has put you in a different position, like of never going back?
Yeah, I will admit, I still thought about going back afterwards.
Oh, Lord, girl.
I did, because this is what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, victims of domestic violence, a lot of times you'll go back until it's either too late or until you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I had my daughter, so I say she was my saving grace, and I say my fans were like the icing on the cake, because I feel like as soon as God gave me my daughter, because I wasn't supposed to be able to have kids, so she came as like, you know, a surprise and a miracle baby. And when I had her, the motherly instinct kind of woke up, and I was like, no, you know, I can always make excuses for why I'm being abused. Maybe I did this wrong, or maybe I did that, but I can't do that with her. So I got out of it. I say she got me out, and I say fans kept me out, because God put me on a platform in front of America. And, you know, with me being a Leo and having so much pride, and me taking pride in how inspirational I was to different people, when he allowed me to meet all of these people and read their stories, and they're telling me things like, because of you, I'm going to leave this year with my kids, and because of you, I feel like I can get out and make it, so I'm going to look for a shelter starting next week. You know, things like that I was getting. I was like, there's no way in the world I can go back or even get back into a relationship like that. So, you know, the thought came and left just as quick, but, you know, I do say that this whole, you know, this whole thing was like a saving grace for me. Yeah.
The Portia Renee Deconstructed. Thank you for sharing yourself with us. Good gracious. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I downloaded the album. I got it.
Yeah.
It's available everywhere. And you're on Motown. It's out. We'll come see you do your thing live in concert in the various cities, wherever you're watching this from. But thank you so much for just being so real.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. The Portia Renee Deconstructed.
Yeah.
Radio 103.9.
Thanks for listening to Live from Stage 17. We hope you enjoyed the show. Now head over to Stage17NYC.com for more exclusive Stage 17 content.